Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
One debate of many that's on one channel of many was not enough reason not to have the speech at the time that that we decided to have it.
White House spokesman Jay Carney there, and President Obama's jobs address next week will not go head-to-head with that Republican presidential debate. After all, it'll butt helmets instead with the NFL's opening night, one of the smaller outbursts of political gridlock now resolved. Football season meets political silly season. We'll talk about it briefly in a couple of minutes, but lost yesterday in the media glee over the schedule fight was what we think was a preview of a central part of the coming jobs address in remarks the president made about two transportation bills now stuck in Congress that have serious implications for the New York metro area, and about how much further the president wants to go with transportation infrastructure spending as it relates to jobs. So we're going to start with this. In fact, it got so buried beneath all the schedule kerfuffle stuff that here is a two-minute excerpt of President Obama yesterday on transportation and jobs.
Of course, if we're honest, we also know that when it comes to our nation's infrastructure, our roads, our railways, mass transit, airports, we shouldn't just be playing patch-up or catch-up. We should be leading the world. 10 years ago, our nation's infrastructure was ranked sixth globally. Today, it's 23rd. We invest half as much in our infrastructure as we did 50 years ago, with more than one and a half the number of people. Everybody can see the consequences. And that's unacceptable for a nation that's always dreamed big and built big, from transcontinental railroads to the interstate highway system. And it's unacceptable when countries like China are building high-speed rail networks and gleaming new airports, while more than a million construction workers who could be doing the same thing are unemployed right here in America. And so when Congress is back next week, in addition to passing these clean extensions to prevent any halt on existing work, we're going to have a serious conversation in this country about making real, lasting investments in our infrastructure, from better ports to a smarter electric grid, from high-speed internet to high-speed rail. And at a time when interest rates are low and workers are unemployed, the best time to make those investments is right now, not once another levee fails or another bridge falls. Right now is when we need to be making these decisions. Now's the time for Congress to extend the transportation bill, keep our workers on the job. Now is the time to put our country before party and to give certainty to the people who are just trying to get by. There is work to be done. There are workers ready to do it. And that's why I expect Congress to act immediately.
President Obama speaking yesterday. With us now, Petra Todorovich, director of the America 2050 program at the Regional Plan Association, a think tank that focuses on regional development in the New York area. And on the politics, Ben Smith from Politico. Petra, Ben, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning, Brian.
Petra, your reaction as an infrastructure advocate to the president's remarks? Did he break any new ground there?
Well, unfortunately, no. There's no new ground here. Really, this is the president saying to Congress, come on, guys, get your act together. Don't do what you did on the debt ceiling with the transportation bill. Let's pass this bill. Let's keep people in their jobs. This is people's lives and livelihoods that we're talking about.
Now, tell us about this transportation bill. He referred to two versions there, and you told us that one would be worse for the New York area than the next. Can you compare the House bill and the Senate bill, both in terms of jobs and infrastructure for New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, as you see it?
Sure. The House has proposed a bill that costs about $230 billion over 6 years. So this is a live-within-our-means bill. It just takes the existing revenue that's coming into the Federal Transportation Trust Fund and sends it back out to the states. But it's really a very drastic cut over what President Obama had originally proposed, which was a bill about $550 billion over 6 years. And it's a 30% cut annually over what the federal government currently spends on transportation funding. The other bill coming out of the Senate is a two-year bill worth about $109 billion. So that deals with the same issue of we don't have enough money to fund our transportation needs by just taking the money we have and spending it in the span of 2 years. So we would have to readdress the issue 2 years from now. So the Senate bill would have less impacts on our region because it would keep funding levels at about the same, whereas the House bill would really be drastic cuts, and that would translate to less funding for all of our highway and rail transit programs. And I can go into the details if you'd like.
Well, do a little bit. I see you sent us a note that said 18,000 jobs lost in the first year in New Jersey alone. Is that right?
That's right. Our friends at Tri-State Transportation Campaign did an analysis of what does a federal cut of 30% mean in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So in New Jersey, it would be a cut of $3 billion over 6 years, 18,000 jobs lost in the first year.
That's what, in current construction or maintenance jobs?
That's correct. And then in New York, it's a cut of about $7.2 billion over 6 years because New York has an even bigger transportation program and the loss of 45,000 jobs in the first year. And that would impact many of the programs or the projects in MTA's capital plan, like East Side Access, maintenance to Metro North Railroad, New York City subway station renewal, rehabilitation, accessibility work. So a lot of projects that we've been hoping for that keep the subway system and our commuter railroads in good repair would be canceled or delayed as a result of that federal cut. And then in Connecticut, we're talking about a cut of about $1.5 billion over 6 years, and they estimated a loss of 9,000 jobs.
So that's about 75,000 jobs overall, 75,000 jobs lost by your and the transportation
Tri-State Transportation Campaign's analysis.
And your, you know, advocacy group, so maybe those numbers are high, but it's some kind of something in the thousands of additional unemployed people if these bills were to go through, if the House bill were to go through in your estimation.
Right, and that's basically the lower end of the bargaining that's being started between the House and the Senate.
Ben Smith from Politico, why did the president give this little jobs address that few people heard yesterday before his big jobs address next week? Was he trying out themes?
You know, I think basically he wants to talk about jobs whenever he is talking about anything. He wants to be a jobs president and only talk about jobs. This has been true for years, but then the reality of the presidency is that sometimes he's talking about Egypt and sometimes he's talking about Hurricane Irene. But I mean, I think his default is to talk about jobs, and I think, yeah, he's, you know, sort of trying to set the stage for what he hopes will be a very big, high-impact speech that will, you know, as they say in the White House, move the dial on the issue. He's given a lot of speeches intending to do that on a range of issues, and it doesn't really seem to typically work, but they're hoping this one will be different.
In other words, drip, 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 keep the pressure on Congress, talk about this in the clip we heard one day, and other things that kind of have similar messages on other bills other days?
Yeah, I think that's right, and the Highway Trust Fund renewal that the other guest is talking about, that Petra is talking about, is one of these things where I think, you know, a month ago when we were calling both White House officials and people on the Hill about it, they said, "Oh, of course, it always gets renewed. Of course, it'll get renewed." And it's just another mark of how things that used to be routine are, you know, always now on the verge of total crisis and meltdown.
Which is why he put it in terms of not having something like the debt ceiling happen to transportation.
Right.
Petra, this Highway Trust Fund makes it sound like it's some self-sustaining pot of money, like it comes from tolls or something. But that's not the case, is it?
Well, Ben brings up an issue that just emerged last month, which is that the federal gas tax will actually also expire at the end of September. So I was referring to the authorization of our transportation law, which Congress has been delaying writing a new transportation bill ever since it first expired at the end of 2009, I believe. So we've been expecting them to push that back, and we're just dealing with a Bush-era transportation policy right now. But another issue is that There's a federal gas tax. Everybody knows it's 18.4 cents per gallon.
One of your issues is that it's that flat amount that hasn't changed in many, many years, 18.4 cents, which doesn't keep up with inflation because it's not a percent tax.
That's correct. And it also is declining in terms of revenue because we have more efficient cars. So people are using fewer gallons of gas, so it generates less revenue. So that's a big problem that we haven't been able to address our changes to our transportation policy because there's no new money for transportation. What's coming in isn't sufficient to deal with the current needs, let alone growth for the future. But the other issue is that the gas tax actually will expire, and the routine thing that Congress usually does is they just renew it, because to let it lapse would be disaster. There would be no money for anybody's highway departments throughout the country. But given the political brinkmanship that's been going on in Congress these days, I mean, they could possibly consider not renewing the gas tax, and that would be chaos, as some have said. We hope they won't do it. I don't think that'll happen, but maybe some politicians will use that as a bargaining chip, and that's the kind of politics that we're seeing play out right now, which is so unfortunate because these are fundamental issues that underpin our economy, and we just need to maintain our infrastructure in a state of good repair at the bare minimum to keep our economy stable in this time of crisis.
Petra Todorovich from the Regional Plan Association, Ben Smith from Politico on WNYC. Ben, what's your best intelligence on the centerpiece of what the president actually will say in this jobs address next Thursday? Everyone is dismissing the possibility of any big stimulus or public works programs as a political impossibility and fiscally questionable in light of the $14 trillion federal debt that they're trying to reduce. So what can he say?
You know, I mean, I think that they're going to right. It's very hard to see how they could do anything even approaching the scale of the $787 billion stimulus that was passed in 2009. It's just not politically possible right now.
But he's building up expectations. The White House is building up expectations around this speech. So they've got to say something.
I mean, I think they hope to do the sort of things that, as Bill Clinton at times did, that will capture the imagination, even if they're not going to be on the kind of scale that, you know, economists think would have a really sweeping impact. There's a Georgia program that they're talking about imitating that would basically pay people unemployment insurance plus a little to work as trainees in companies in the hopes that the companies would then hire them. That's a program that's been, you know, it's called Georgia Works, and it's something that's been kind of popular among kind of conservative Democrats, basically. It's a sort of a welfare to work applied to unemployment, and in theory, sort of a solution to the issue of people, the longer that they're unemployed, the harder it is for them to find work. There's also been talk that he would, and this would certainly be a big deal and a big idea, that they would try to create an infrastructure bank, you know, something like $10 billion in government investment off the bat that would then be able to lend to the private and to private sector, to public sector projects. Hard to see how that would then be doing that within weeks or months. But, you know, that would be another kind of big idea, if not a huge scale program.
Petra, a question from our comments page on this. How would the Second Avenue subway line be affected in these congressional transportation bills? Is there a possibility that it would be put on hold once again?
Yes, absolutely. The Second Avenue subway is in the MTA capital plan. My colleagues know better than I do. The first phase, I believe, is fully funded, but any questions about the capital plan puts off the next phases or imperils the work that's currently being done. So certainly Second Avenue subway would be impacted.
All right. Petra Todorovich from RPA, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we continue with Ben Smith from Politico. Ben, let's touch on the schedule snafu. Amy from Manhattan on our comments page at WNYC.org, or the same comments page on our politics website, by the way, folks, if you want to get in on this online conversation, it's freecountry.org or WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Amy from Manhattan writes, on the scheduling of the speech, it's gridlock versus gridiron. And let's touch on this schedule snafu. What was the president thinking, scheduling his speech for the same time as a Republican presidential hopeful's debate? Wasn't it obvious what that would look like? Or was it meant to get in their face and energize his base, or what?
They say that they weren't paying attention, didn't realize there was a debate. And often in politics, you know, often it's hard to overestimate how incompetent people are.
I knew there was a debate. How did he not know there was a
debate? We're hosting the debate. I knew there was a debate. But certainly that's what they say. You can't totally write off the possibility in politics that people are just bumbling, because often people are, and it gets attributed to some kind of devious intention. On the other hand, it sure looks like they were trying to, you know, upstage the Republicans to contrast this sort of president looking for solutions with this kind of, you know, seven dwarves screaming at each other about far-out policy solutions and about, you know, same-sex marriage and about whatever would come up in that debate, and, you know, that he would, you know, he would remind people that he's the president, basically, that was the idea. He seems to have, you know, done it in a way that, you know, that if it wasn't a total surprise to John Boehner, who basically says he didn't realize it was the same night either when he was first told, you know, that allowed Boehner to, you know, they didn't have all their ducks in a row when they announced it. And Obama wound up just backing down again.
Mark on our Facebook page, first come, first serve. The president booked it second and should be the one to change the date, which he now has done. Now, supposedly Boehner had agreed privately to that time, but then had to publicly object when other Republicans didn't like it. So if that's
I think it's more that Boehner, to be precise, hadn't objected when he was told of it, but I don't think he had, you know, formally signed off on it either, and I don't think they'd asked him to sign off.
Well, even with a tacit agreement, we now have one small schedule item and one grand bargain that Boehner has gone back on with the president this summer. Doesn't he get his own rank and file?
I mean, I think, you know, I think Boehner will look to a lot of people like a partisan jerk. He'll do anything to, you know, to do the president harm, basically. But Boehner's not running, you know, Boehner's not up running nationally next year. The House Republicans aren't running nationally next year. And frankly, like, they do want to stop the president at every front. And they have the luxury, particularly the conservative, you know, ones who represent much of the real, you know, core of any congressional delegation, that, you know, that they're going to win their seats next year no matter what, and they don't care about being viewed as partisan. They are partisans.
I was listening to a conservative talk station on this yesterday, and most of the callers were saying, okay, let the president give his speech at the original time, move the debate just 1 hour later, and let them go to town on him. Why didn't they do that rather than keep the debate a day before the speech?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the Republican presidential candidates and the congressional leadership are necessarily on the same page on this. I mean, yeah, I do think the candidates, yeah, they love the, I mean, to the extent, I mean, Obama may be trying to elevate himself, you know, but I think it also would elevate them, you know, to some degree at the expense of Congress. I think, you know, I think the congressional Republicans want to be the ones on television responding to Barack Obama. They don't want these presidential candidates to be the ones stealing the show. So I think, you know, it's not, the Republican Party isn't a united force.
So now the president will give his jobs address Thursday night at the same time as the NFL's opening night game, gridlock
just before.
Versus... Just before.
Yes,
well, that was my question.
Yes, they've promised that you can... That he'll be done by the time the Packers kick off. And then perhaps, you know, he once recorded a Monday Night Football promo spot, so maybe he'll somehow use that as a kind of a segue.
Wait, the Packers are going to kick off? Does that mean that you know that New Orleans won the toss?
Yes, that's actually, that's part of the Jobs plan.
All right, before you go, that debate is a Politico event. Are you going to be on the panel, and what are you hoping to accomplish in the debate?
I am totally uninvolved in organizing it. It's a Politico NBC debate, but you know, more responsible people than I will be organizing it. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's a really policy heavy moment. It's really, you know, it's a moment when economic policy is what is on everybody's mind. And I think, you know, to the extent that the Republicans will talk about, you know, both policy solutions for creating jobs beyond the sort of very vague rhetoric of tax cuts and regulatory reform, and I think, you know, particularly that to the extent to which they can be sort of pushed to detail what they would do, particularly with Medicare, which is the, you know, by far the largest contributor to the deficits that they worry so much about in going forward. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Social Security, which is a less dire fiscal issue. And they've basically skated on detailing what they do with Medicare. So that's definitely something I'd like to hear.
And somebody might ask Rick Perry whether he still thinks Social Security is unconstitutional.
Yeah, we basically can read Rick Perry a series of quotes from his book and see what he says about them.
You said it's Politico NBC. I assume it's not on regular NBC. Is that on MSNBC?
Yeah, I think it will be. It's at the Reagan Library.
So Republican presidential hopefuls at the Reagan Library Wednesday night. President Obama with his national economics address before a joint session of Congress, which is why he needed Boehner's approval. On Thursday night, Ben Smith from Politico, Now and Forever. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, in the wake of Irene, Congress will revisit flood insurance laws. Do insurance companies, should the federal government be the one to pick up the tab for flood insurance? We'll see what might change. Plus, coming up this hour, a new Alaska pipeline, or I should say Canada pipeline, that would run all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico that has environmentalists oiling mad. So stay with us.